So how did you start your podcast, Dr. Williams? Why did you start your podcast?
I believe that K-12 education is the greatest profession in the world, with education that makes all other professions possible. And we don't get our flowers. So I felt like, choose yourself, Joseph. And you go out there and you interview people that are working in this amazing profession, and let other people hear their story, and let other people see how there are amazing K-12 educators, not only in the United States, but in the world, that are contributing to this space. And the one thing that I found, whether you're talking about parents that, you know, have kids in the United States, or parents that have kids in Canada, China, the Middle East, it doesn't matter. They all want what's best for their kids. And so in order for them to get what's best for their kids, they need phenomenal teachers and administrators to educate their kids. And so, yeah, that's why I started the podcast. And to date, I've interviewed over 100 people, not just in the United States, but in China and Korea and the Middle East, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Kuwait, you name it. So I'm super excited about my podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Career Education Learning Center podcast. I'm your host, Mitchell Rivers. I'm elated, excited, honored, and privileged on our 25th episode to have Dr. Joseph Williams III. Not only is he a friend, a mentor, but he's also an educator, entrepreneur, and host, podcast host of My K-12 Career Show. How are you doing today, Dr. Williams?
I'm fantastic and amazing, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing amazing and fantastic also, man. It is great for you coming on, so I really appreciate it.
I'm glad to be here, man.
Well, tell our audience, my audience, not your audience, but tell my audience a little bit about yourself and your journey to your current career path, because it's expansive, my brother.
Yes, it is. I'll kind of go back to the beginning. I always like to say that I didn't choose K-12 education. K-12 education chose me. And, you know, there's an old saying, if you want to make God smile, tell him your plans, because he might have other plans.
True.
So I was a pre-law major. I thought I was on my way. As a matter of fact, I was on my way to law school. I had been accepted into 7 different law schools across the country. And I decided on going to SMU Law School in Dallas, Texas. But my last year in college, I only needed one class each semester to graduate. So I had a lot of extra time on my hands, and being a poor, broke college student, I need to make some extra money.
Yes.
So somebody recommended that I sub, and I was like, oh, okay, I never thought about that. And I did. I signed up and I subbed, and, you know, one day turned into 1 week, and the next thing you know, they were calling me every day. And, you know, I always tell people that nobody ever had to teach me how to manage a classroom, because I don't care if I was dealing with an elementary classroom, a middle school classroom, a high school classroom. I knew how to handle kids, and I felt like a fish in water, and it was just really good. And I was a young guy too. I was only 25 years of age, but I really liked it. And again, like I said, I was tired of being the poor, broke college student. And I was like, you know what? Maybe, you know, I can teach for a year, you know, because, you know, so many people were encouraging me to get into the profession because there's so few Black people that look like us,
yes,
especially Black males that are in the K-12 profession. And so, yeah, I thought about it, prayed about it, and I said, yeah, you know, why don't I just do that? I'll do that for a year and I'll save up some money and then I'll go to law school. Well, that was back in 1994. Here we are in 2004. So that was 30 years ago. So,
wow.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I never made it to law school, and that's fine, you know, because I feel like this is what I was put on this earth to do. I was put on this earth to make an impact in the lives of young people, whether they were in elementary school, middle school, or high school, because I've been fortunate to be a teacher and an administrator at every level, the elementary level, the middle school level, and the high school level.
So tell us about your, as far as your education, your undergrad, and then your master's and your doctorate degree. Did you get those from different colleges, or the same colleges did you go through?
Yeah. So I actually have 5 degrees. I have an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's, an MBA, and a doctorate. And yeah, they're all from different universities all over the country. My associate's from Kansas Community College. My bachelor's is from Liberty University in Virginia. My master's is from Nova Southeastern University in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. My MBA is from William Howard Taft University in Denver, Colorado. And my doctorate is from California Coast University in Santa Ana, California. And I'm actually working on my PhD. I'm in the dissertation phase of my PhD. And now I'm actually getting that from Liberty University. So I should be finished with that in the spring of 2025. I finished all the coursework. And now I'm in the process of writing my proposal and preparing for my defense, for my dissertation.
Wow. And that's what I try to tell our viewers and listeners, is that the career path as far as educational career can go many ways, right? I also got my associate degree from Central Piedmont Community College here in Charlotte. Went and got my 4-year degree from UNC Pembroke. And so I was in the military in reserves, serving Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And so there's a myriad of ways of getting the education if you want to get that 4-year, 2-year degree. And I also include, Dr. Williams, that you know, you don't always have to have your 4-year degree. I talk about careers and different careers. Absolutely. So if you get your license, you know, you get your certifications, those are just as important as degrees. Because absolutely, I had a degree, but I couldn't sell life insurance if I didn't pass my life insurance exam. I have a degree, but I don't have how to pass the health insurance exam. I have a degree, but I cannot do securities or practice setting up people with brokerage accounts if I don't have my securities, you know, license. You can't sell real estate without the license. You know, there's a lot of things that include degrees and licenses. You know, if you want to become a doctor, a pharmacist, a nurse, whatever it is, sometimes they require both and sometimes none. And coming from you come from a community college too, and technical college, me, is that those 2-year degrees are very good. I mean, they make very good money. And a lot of times, if you can become an apprentice, whether it's in welding, a technical person, electrician, some type of, if you do a washing machine and dryer, or you do air conditioning and heating, you start off as an apprenticeship, work with somebody after that, and then you can go ahead and become an entrepreneur yourself. So then now you expanding your business empire yourself, what we call now with the brand, right? Everybody want to have that brand. And so now you're able to have a brand yourself. And so that's another different route that you can have to attain what you want to do in life and become an entrepreneur. Because when you get older, when you get our age, you can't do the same thing when you're young, you know? You can't be the person that goes out and do the same job if it's physical every day. What your job is to do is to get that passive income coming in to where you have other people working for you.
Absolutely.
And that's definitely what you want to do. So what do you do now as far as occupational? What is your job that you do now as far as, are you a principal now? Are you a teacher? What type of administration job do you do at this moment?
Yeah, so, you know, like I said, for the last 30 years, I've been in K-12 education. But this past year, I really am just working contract work. I'm actually not working as a principal this year, and I needed the break, to be honest with you. I've been a principal. I've actually been the principal of a school every year since 2008. And here we are in 2024. So, yeah, I mean, I'm taking a break this year. But next year, I'll be a principal, probably at a middle school. Mm-hmm. Maybe a high school. I'm open to either one.
I don't know how you open to either one, because that middle school is rough. I tell you what, I did junior achievement, Dr. Williams, you know, teaching business class and economics, and I did elementary and high school, had no problem. But that middle school, those hormones going everywhere, woof, you know.
Yeah,
I said, like, you know that. That like takes that special age. People to do middle school.
Yeah, I like that age. It's no problem. You know, you're going to deal with Jamal at 6 or 12 or 16, so it doesn't matter. So they need good people at every level.
They really do. They really do. It's just that, to me, it takes special people to teach in that middle school area, and they should be paid more. So you hear from me, Mitchell Rivers, that the middle school teachers everywhere should be paid more.
Yeah.
So how did you start your podcast, Dr. Williams? Why did you start your podcast?
I believe that K-12 education is the greatest profession in the world. We're the education that makes all other professions possible, and we don't get our flowers. So I felt like, choose yourself, Joseph, and you go out there and you interview people that are working in this amazing profession, and let other people hear their story, and let other people see how there are amazing K-12 educators, not only in the United States, but in the world, that are contributing to this space. And the one thing that I found, whether you're talking about parents that, you know, have kids in the United States or parents that have kids in Canada, China, the Middle East, it doesn't matter. They all want what's best for their kids. And so in order for to get what's best for their kids, they need phenomenal teachers and administrators to educate their kids. And so, yeah, that's why I started the podcast. And to date, I've interviewed over 100 people, not just in the United States, but in China and Korea and the Middle East, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Kuwait, you name it. So I'm super excited about my podcast. And I call my show the My K-12 Career Show, but I also have a newsletter on LinkedIn. It's called Elevating K-12 Education. And that's what I'm all about. I'm all about elevating the K-12 profession because, again, like I said, we're the profession that makes all the other professions possible. Right. Whether you're talking about Bill Gates or Elon Musk or the President of the United States, if you go back into their life, if you go back into their childhood, there was a teacher, a counselor, an administrator that had a positive impact on their life.
Well, you know, I come from a household of parents who were teachers. My dad was a music teacher and my mom was an English literature teacher. And so I know about teachers. But why do you think, well, back in the day when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, through my elementary through high school, the teachers were revered. They were respected, revered, and thought highly of in society. But now, for some reason, that's why I love your show when I first seen it on your podcast, is that teachers are like kind of like thrown to the side a little bit. You know, like that's the last thing you hear young people want to be is a teacher. Want to be everything else, an athlete, a podcaster, an interviewer, some other profession other than teachers. Well, why is that? Why has the teaching profession, in your opinion, dropped off more?
I don't really believe it's ever dropped off. I don't ever believe it was elevated. I mean, whether even when you talk about your parents being teachers, if they were teachers, they were making very little money. Mm-hmm. You know, and a big belief of mine is, you know, you can judge how a profession is revered or not revered by the amount of money that people make in that profession. And if you look at, if you look back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, teachers were not making any kind of money. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's why I didn't want to be a teacher. They weren't making any kind of money. That's why I wanted to be a lawyer, because that profession was more revered than the teaching profession. So I think that's kind of a myth. I think we get nostalgia about the good old days, and I don't think they were ever good old days. Because at the end of the day, you weren't paying them. You weren't paying. And there was a time, and you know this as well as I, there was a time where teaching was not even considered a profession for a male.
Yes.
It was a female, and still to a certain extent is a female dominated profession. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it from that standpoint, that tells you everything you need to know about it not really being a revered profession. Because A, it wasn't paying anything, and B, it was a female dominated profession.
Yeah, especially through K-12. What it was, K-12 mainly had female teachers, but some reason when you got the colleges, you know, then where they pay is much better, right? Then you had more males.
That's a myth too. The pay is not that great in the college profession as well. I mean, yeah, the higher up you go, if you're a dean or if you're a university president or something, yeah, you might make decent money. But I mean, most professors in the college system are adjuncts. They're not even full professors.
Yeah.
So they're getting paid salary. They're getting paid by the course. That's not a way to make a living, my brother. So, I mean, I have a doctorate. So I am an adjunct professor. So I could go into the college profession. And the reason, one of the main reasons I don't go into college profession is they don't pay as much as I make in the K-12 profession.
So is that one of the things I'm going to ask you? That's a good segue to ask you this next question is, what can we do to attract more students to go into the teaching profession? Is pay more?
Pay is the main thing. I mean, think about it. If you're an 18-year-old kid, first of all, you got your parents and everybody else telling you don't go into the profession, right? And the main reason the parents are saying don't go into the profession is what? It's not good pay. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, if a young person, because I've always believed that education gives students options, right?
Right.
So if you're a smart student and you've done well in high school and you made good grades and you've done well in the SAT or the ACT, you have options. Why would you choose the K-12 profession when you could be a lawyer, doctor, engineer? All these professions pay more than the teaching profession. Mm-hmm. So if this country, if the United States is not going to be willing to pay teachers better. We're going to always have a teacher shortage.
Well, you know, I know in the last, I know here in Charlotte, North Carolina, the CMS system, they've been trying to up the pay, get the state as well to up the pay for teachers to attract more teachers, you know, and maybe that's one of the things that need to be addressed even more to pay even more money towards teachers there, you know, and make that profession more, let me say, more valuable than, like you said before, than it is to, if you put a price on it, if we put a price as far as the value of that profession. And you said that the teachers touch everyone in our lives, which it does, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has to go to school. Everybody has to learn, right?
Yeah.
Then why come we're not putting that value with the money, right? When you say, you know, money talks, you know, where your treasure is, where your money lies, where your treasure is. And as a country, are we putting money toward that? You know, you know, so I think we as a country have to examine what are we doing these days, you know? You know, and I was also asking, how can we get more kids or minorities and women in the STEM programs? You know, I talked to someone earlier today about STEM programs. Do you have an opinion on how maybe you can get at least some of our young people, especially in high school, in the STEM programs where they can start early?
Yeah, I think a lot of it just is our value system in our community. I mean, what's valued in the Black community? Playing basketball,
entertainment.
Being an entertainer, you know. So until we start celebrating academic achievements as much as we celebrate athletic and entertainment achievements, you're going to always have this issue. And I will also say that at the elementary level is where you need to get kids interested. If you don't make sure the kids have that solid foundation in English, math, and science at the elementary level, they're not going into STEM because especially in math and science, those are building block subjects.
Yes.
And if you don't get a solid foundation in math and science at the elementary level, and then you get to higher level math and science in middle and high school, and you don't have that solid foundation from elementary school, you're not going into STEM because it's too difficult. So I think you have to put the resources at the elementary level and make sure that you have really good STEM programs at the elementary level to ensure that students have the solid foundation so that they will be interested in those subjects. When they get to the middle and high school level. But again, it really starts in the home. I mean, I've really pushed. I told my kids point blank, period. They're not going to be a history major, English major, none of that. They're going to be like the future is AI, generative AI. It's technology, it's engineering, and they need to pick one of those as their subject. But that starts in my house. That doesn't start at some institution or whatever. We have to fix it. What we need to fix at home first and make sure that we're giving kids what they need at home and not expecting some person in a school to, you know, guide our kids on what's most important. All that stuff starts at home. You know, if a kid starts school at 5 or 6 years of age, they've been in school 5 or 6 years before they even hit an elementary school. Because somebody been pouring into that teaching those kids for the 5 or 6 years before they ever set foot in elementary school. So I always tell people that, you know, most school systems have school for 180 days in a school year.
Yes.
There's 365 days in a year. So if you just subtracted 180 days, that's still somebody away from that school building that is having just as much, if not more, influence on that child because they're with them more than those 180 days. And so it's super important that we get more involved in our community with making sure that we're valuing what needs to be valued. Because one thing I can tell you is that it's like I said earlier, education gives you options. And if you don't make sure that students value education at a young age and value the type of professions that will pay them six figures out of high school or six figures out of college because they are in professions that are in high demand. Because it's as simple as that. It's supply and demand. You know, if you get a degree in something that there's not a lot of demand for, you can't expect a lot of money for it. Right? But if you get into these professions where, you know, it's tech driven or engineering driven, you know, anything in the sciences, the medical profession, you're going to make good money.
Yeah. And also, I also say the same thing. If you have a passion for it too, you have to have a passion for what you go into. If you don't, you're not going to make it. I mean,
you're going to struggle.
And so if you have a passion for that, no matter what it is, you're going to make it. And I also would stress that you got to have a passion and want and desire to be succeed in that profession. There have been many actors you've seen like, look, all I know is acting. I'm going to do acting. I'm going to do everything I can to make it as an actor. And we heard about recently about actors saying they're not getting paid enough and this and that. Hey, you got to go out there and you got to hustle, right? You got to know what you're doing. And if you don't make as much money, and I don't know, I talked to you about financial literacy, and especially in the community, and then you better know how to use your money wisely, right? To where you be able to do things that you want to do. And so, because everybody can't go into tech industry and other industries that make a lot of money, unfortunately, because like me, I'm not that smart technical-wise. Mm-hmm. But if I do choose a profession that's not technical-wise, so don't make that much money, then I better know financial literacy. I know we talked about financial literacy. How important is financial literacy in getting our kids at a young age to learn financial literacy?
Let me go back to what you were talking about with passion. I don't agree with that. I don't agree that passion is something that is a requirement to be successful. I think about, you know, I don't know. I think I showed you these lights that are being made by, the name of the company is Lit Ones.
Right.
Uh-huh. Whoever started that company, I don't know if making these lights was their passion, but if it makes a lot of money for them, of course they're going to become passionate about it. Like, I mean, to me, again, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, the person that pours concrete all day and has 10 different trucks, I don't know if pouring concrete was their passion, but if it's $1 million business, they're going to be passionate
I think their passion was they want to become an entrepreneur and make
that's money. What I'm
that's
saying.
That's their passion coming to, right? The passion is not what you're doing, it's what you, how are you going to make money. And absolutely. So being an entrepreneur is definitely something different, and you have to be somewhat built for it, because you're going to come into a lot of obstacles that you know better than I do. Mm-hmm. And you better have a passion that you want to be an entrepreneur in whatever field you choose or whatever company you choose to have. So if you're going to be a concrete person, if you're going to go on air conditioning and heating and have many trucks, whatever you do, you better have a passion that you want to make money in what you're doing. And that's what I was talking about earlier. If you're going to cut, like, I know a lot, you know, a lot of lawn care businesses, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the passion of lawn care business. The passion want to come in that you will get tired doing that lawn care yourself, right? What you got to have a passion for is becoming a business person to where you own the lawn care business, to where you have people working for you. Because you can't be cutting lawn care, carpet cleaning, plumbing, anything that you do for a long time, roofing or whatever. What you got to have a passion for is becoming an entrepreneur. You got to have a passion for going to talk to people, going to ask your community colleges about small businesses and small business loan, and then you become your own boss. And the passion come in that sometimes you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm sick and tired doing this by myself. And you're going to have to become an entrepreneur in a sense, because you can't do that all your life. Your body physically cannot take it. Now, I know I don't look that old, Dr. Williams, but believe me, I feel old at the hard day's work physically. And so as you get older, you can't do those physical jobs like you used to. And your physical job can lead you to where you can become an entrepreneur and expand yourself and do less work and have other people doing more work for you. And then you had the money coming in. Now that's where the passion come in to become a businessman. But you're right. Again, I say whatever you want to do, you know, you can make money and you got to have a passion for, but you also got to be smart enough with that passion to go how you can make money within that passion you have for. So if you're in the music business, you know, and you want to go into music, and although music pay a lot, there are a lot of careers in music, as I spoke to a lot of my guests before, that people don't even know about. That's where the information come in. That's where you come in too. That information say, hey, if you're going to go into this, then you may go in there with full head of steam and know what's out there. Get the information. So there's engineers, there's all kinds of professions out there that you want to seek, and seek it. And then it comes right to financial literacy. If you don't make the top dollar, if you don't make enough money at the time, sort of starting out, where does financial literacy come into play?
Yeah, financial literacy is, in my opinion, the last great frontier for Black and brown people. Most Black and brown people were not taught how to keep their money. They were taught how to go to school and get a good job and get a good career, but not necessarily how to save and invest their money. So I think, again, it's just like I said about academic education, you know, financial literacy begins at home. Mm-hmm. You know, if a child is seeing that, you know, mom and dad aren't paying their bills on time or living paycheck to paycheck, then they're going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if they're not being taught how to, you know, open a checking account and being educated on, you know, financial literacy, mm-hmm. it's going to be very difficult to break that generational curse that I think is impacting a lot of black and brown communities. Because again, like I said, a dollar in the black and brown communities doesn't even recycle through that community even one time. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like you said, we don't have our own businesses in our communities. We don't believe in investing and saving. And I'll say saving first, because you can't invest until you save something.
Right. So,
I just think that, and for me, I'm 55 years of age. I didn't really start truly looking at the power and the seriousness of investing until a little less than 10 years ago. So that's literally 45 years on this earth before I started taking that seriously. That's half my life. That's over half my life,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so again, I can cry about it, or I could, you know, make sure that the buck stops with me, and I make sure that my two children, Joseph and Juliana, don't have the same issues financially, and are not ignorant mm-hmm. about financial issues like I was when I became an adult, and like I was the first 20 years of my career.
Well, that's most people, you know, and that's where it come in. As far as you want to talk about the African-American community, is that's the next generation. It's entrepreneurship and financial literacy is what we need to concentrate on, you know, and teaching them now. Okay, we didn't learn it, and the information is key, as we said earlier. Having information is the key. Well, now we have the information. We know about it. You learn late, I learn late, okay? So now let's make sure the next generation don't learn late. You know, mm-hmm. and so let's pass that along. And I know a lot of high schools are now starting to teach financial literacy, you know, and maybe too late, maybe. No, not too late. It's never too late to start doing what's right. And what's right is it's okay to learn math, history, and everything else. But we need to learn to teach our kids about, you know, health insurance, life insurance, taxes, you know, other things that come out, you know.
Yeah.
Mecklenburg County, when our taxes just went up again, keep going up and up. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, teach them there then, you know, teach the kids then about those facts there. Because as a man said, when I come out, I can know all the algebra, trigonometry I want to, but they ain't gonna pay no bills, you know, if I don't know how to do it. So if as a financial representative, I am, I've seen clients make $100,000 and spend money like it's water. You know, they're not taking into account that one day they're going to retire. They keep thinking like most unfortunate, most athletes, that money going to keep coming in. And one day it may not keep coming in. One day you may get laid off, or one day you may get fired, or one day you may have to quit because of an illness or whatever. We never know when life happens. And so you want to be prepared as much as possible when life happens. And so hopefully, if there are educators watching this, and even the parents are watching this, please pass on that financial literacy to your children. I'm trying to tell my boys about it. I don't know how much they listen, but I'm doing my part as a father to teach my kids. And I want you also to teach your kids about financial literacy. Because when we got older, we learned a lot hard way a lot of times, right? We learned about car payment, car insurance, taxes, inspection stickers, little things that come out of nowhere. You need to have a rainy day fund, emergency fund, because it ain't if it's going to happen. It ain't when it's going to happen. It's if it's going to not if it's going to happen. It's when it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, I just had my brakes repaired this past week. That was over $600-something. Like, oh my goodness, you know, just for the brace repair. And it happens, you know. The illness come in and someone gets sick, you got to pay for the medicine. You know, well, do you have good health insurance? And so you want to know that going to the doctor. What benefits do I have? What health insurance? And then you're talking about retirement, right? What about a 401k? What about Roth IRA? You know, what about the future? You know, and then have life insurance. What if something happens, unfortunately? You know, my father died when he was 43, you know, and left four kids. You know, fortunately, we had life insurance. But back then, a lot of African-Americans did not have life insurance. So then what you going to do? Because it's fine if you have a GoFundMe, that'll pay for the funeral, but you got to live after the funeral, you know? Your bills going to start coming in. They don't stop coming in, you know? The house payment, the car payment, the electric bill, the water bill, the power bill, the cable bill, the internet bill, those bills keep coming in. And so that's why I love having you on here. Now, I only talk about education. We're talking about financial literacy, talking about passing on from one generation to the next generation as far as education, what you go into, and how much influence as we as parents, more than any other influence that our children are going to have, is they're going to definitely watch us. That's what I got from this, man. They're definitely watch us.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it. Well, Dr. Williams, my show don't last as long as your show does. My podcast is a little bit shorter than your show. So, Dr. Williams, give us some words of wisdom that you have from our audience here about maybe going to college or about financial literacy or about doing what they feel is best for their children and their adults.
Yeah, I think I would just share with your audience that it's really important to educate yourself first. Like, you can't teach what you don't already know yourself. Mm-hmm. And you can't. Kids do what you do, not what you say anyway. So you can tell them all you want, but if you're not living that same life, then it's not working. You can tell them to pay their bills. You can tell them to save their money. But if you're not doing that yourself, then they're not going to do it. They're going to do what you do, not what you say. So get yourself educated first. And if you need to get a financial planner, you can do that. But, you know, truthfully, we live in the information age. I mean, anything that a person wants to learn, they can learn. They can go on YouTube. There's just so many free ways of getting educated about financial literacy. There's no excuse. But again, you know, just start where you are and just get educated and then pass that information on to your kids. And if we do that, that can make all the difference in the world. Also, as it relates to your career, it's never too late to start a new career if you choose to. The economy is changing, and just how people are going to get paid in the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years is going to be totally different from how it used to be. You talked about working with your hands. I think more and more we're living in the information age, and if people aren't willing to use this and get knowledge and be a lifelong learner and grow and adapt, then it's going to be very difficult for you to advance in this new economy that we're in right now. So, you know, just be willing to grow, be willing to learn, and start celebrating what really needs to be celebrated in our community. There's nothing wrong with being an athlete. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being an entertainer. But, you know, the sad fact of the matter is I started education in 1994. And when I was asking kids back in 1994, 30 years ago, what did they want to be? The overwhelming majority of black and brown kids were saying, I want to be an athlete or I want to be an entertainer. And here we are at 30 years later in 2024, mm-hmm. and the overwhelming number of black and brown kids are saying they want to be an athlete and an entertainer. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem that starts in the home. And so, again, like I said, education begins at home. And the most important educators in a child's life or the people that they're living with. And so just make sure that you're doing all you can for your kids. And then that way, if we're just doing that, then that can be the beginning of making the difference as it relates to school. And I'm not discounting school. I've been an educator for 30 years, mm-hmm. but that's the problem. A lot of black and brown people think that that's the only way that kids can get educated. Mm-hmm. It's not. And so when you send them to fill in the blank, elementary, middle, or high school, mm-hmm. and now you want that teacher to also be a counselor, the social worker, yes. the auntie, and all that, mm-hmm. it's just not realistic. Because first of all, we only have them for 7 to 8 hours a day anyway. Mm-hmm. And then we only have them for 180 days a year, and it's 365 days in a year. So at the end of the day, we have to make sure that they're getting what they need at home as well as what they're getting in the school. So that's all I would have to say, and I'm grateful that you had me on the show, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Williams. There's a lot of nuggets, a lot of information, a lot of stuff there that I need to adhere to myself and for our audience. And audience, since Dr. Williams on here, let's celebrate teachers, okay? Go to your teachers, go to your administrator, and tell them how much you appreciate them. If you just say thank you for teaching our kids, thank you for being there for us. Just a thank you sometimes goes a long way. And if you want to give them for my hair for educators on LinkedIn, a pack of pencils or whatever they want to get, you know, I don't think you can give them an apple no more. I don't even know if I don't want an apple back in that day. Remember the back in that day? Give your teacher an apple, you know, they don't want an apple. But just tell them you appreciate them. That's the main thing. If you tell them thank you and you appreciate them and appreciate what they do, that'll go a long way. That'll go a long way. Thank you so much, Dr. Wilson, for coming on our show. And I'd like to thank our viewers and listeners for joining me on our 25th episode of the Career Education Learning Center podcast, where we make your career dreams a reality. God bless.